What's up, what's up, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine, right here on your number one underground station, MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. You already know I'm your girl, Dre Mob, and you can catch me on the gram at 305_Brownie.
What's good, Brownie? This is George, 305 Radio and 305 Magazine. Everything on the gram or whatever social media you happen to use. But today, we're closing out 2018.
It's our last show. So it's definitely a very special one. Thank you for joining us.
So we have BB Lewis, Mr. Branding, Marketing,
a little bit of everything.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Part of the biggest studio in Miami. Mm-hmm. You touch on a lot of things, man. You're big on a lot of events. You have a lot of things going on at one shot. Introduce yourself, man. Talk to me.
BB Lewis. I'm here. My family has been in the music business here in Miami for a very long time, in Jamaica. Also, Inner Circle, you know, who made the theme song for Cops. And another one, Girl, I'll Make You Sweat, was good, too. That was a big one, too. My little brother is Lunch Money Lewis. He's also hit maker, songwriter here out of Miami also. And, you know.
Did you ever get into music?
Yeah, I got into it. I was doing beats. Like, if you look at Trick Daddy's first album, I did like 4 beats on there. Like, that's when we met Hugo Diaz and the Diaz brothers.
Shout out to the Diaz brothers.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. And so, how old were you when you started getting to more exposed into the industry? Because having a father that always has a band, that band's been around forever before you were even created. So growing up in that, how old are you when you finally saw what it was to this kind of exposure, this kind of fame?
Yeah, well, he's been doing it for a long time, so like, I always like been in a studio with him, you know, seen him like grind, you know. So that was like early years as a, you know, a kid, and you know, 14, 15, you know. And then from there I went to college, you know. Then while I was left in college, that's when the songs just started to like explode, you know. Then when I came back, it was like, from college, it was like so much to do. I mean, it was like, you know, things just started moving and things started happening. So it's like I had to like stop school and kind of like, you know, started to like really have to indulge into the music, the business side, you know, because people, you know, the music side, then it's a business. You know, people don't think it's cool and Instagram, I'm a rapper, but like it's music and it's the word business attached to it. You know, so once you can decipher that and understand that, then you can understand it. It's music, business, you know?
Absolutely, I agree 100%. Now, what's, you know, sticking to exactly that, what you said, now, you've been behind the scenes for years.
Yeah.
So you've seen a lot of up-and-coming artists from all genres. All genres come by you. So what's a common mistake? Because I know you just mentioned these Instagram rappers and they're trying to base their fame on this, but what's a common mistake you have with artists in general when they come and they're trying to break into the business?
Just probably going too fast, you know? And I always say, like, building straw houses. You know, I always use the Big Bad Wolf, you know? So, like, he couldn't blow down a brick house, you know? And that brick house was built by, you know, the proper marketing and promotions, the proper social media, the proper Spotify. You got to be right about now coming out as a new artist. Now you have to have a lot going on. It's not like just back in the days where, you know, it's like you have to have a whole lot going on and everything has to be happening cohesively at the same time for you to actually blow up, to really win, to, you know, not just become a fly by night, you know, to really become like 50 years in the business like my dad, like, you know. So it's like you build that brick house, you know.
Yeah. And a lot. And what do you consider going too fast?
Like, shoot, man, it's not coming with the right record, not properly mixing your song, not properly getting like a clean version of your record, or just like, it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things.
Why do you think it's so important for artists, especially, to have a clean version? Because I see that a lot within this industry, especially here in Miami. Everybody has a dope track, but every time they want to play it somewhere, they can't really play it because there's a lot of obscene words in there that you don't want to play. So.
With the clean version, it's like, it's something you have to do. Sometimes on a clean version, you have to even change the entire song. because there's so many curse words in the song where the artist has to actually rewrite their verse or rewrite the hook of the song because the whole song is cursing, you know? So the clean version is definitely, how do you say, it's needed, you know, if you're trying to get airplay. You know, if you want to stay on Spotify, you want to stay on SoundCloud, you want to stay on all that stuff, you're good. But if you're actually trying to, you know?
You know, and that raises a good question. When you start thinking about artists moving fast or whatnot, mm-hmm. nowadays we're living in the internet age. It's very different from before the internet mm-hmm. in the industry worked. So you have a lot of independent artists that they go ahead and they put enough work to put that they don't need the marketing team. They are their own marketing team. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you say to those individuals that they have the hustle behind them, but they're missing a few pieces?
Man, like really look who's winning and see what they're doing, you know? Far as example, like Ball Greasy, people think he just came out of the blue. You know, that guy's been grinding for over 10 years. I used to see that guy, you know,
yeah.
working every day, writing songs. And then he caught one with Nice and Slow, mm-hmm. you know, then God blessed him again and gave him the best life. Yeah. Like, that's when I say things happen cohesively. You see how Nice and Slow came in and Best Life just came right behind it? Mm-hmm. That's what cohesive means. And that's what will take somebody from a regular rapper to a mega rapper, you know? Right. So, you know, in a short amount of time, it's just happening cohesively, you know? And Ball Greasy writes a lot of songs too, behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and that I can't talk about, but some big records.
Come on, give us some examples.
big records. But I was saying, it's like, that's why you gotta have, you get, as an artist nowadays, you gotta be well rounded, you know? And a majority of the Miami independents, like a Iceberg, you know, he's well rounded kid, you know? He's doing his merchandising, he's mm-hmm. doing his sales himself, like he's a full independent label, you know what I'm saying? But he's just the artist, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, these kids are learning, and Miami's it's budding so many, you know, Kodak Blacks, and it's like so much going on. Then it's not even including the Latin scene. It's like, that's out of here, you know, with the Bad Bunnies and the Pitbulls, or, you know, the Originator. And it's just like, those guys are gone, man. It's just like Miami right now is the place to be. Here's Super Bowl coming. It's like, it's going yeah. down. It's going
yeah,
down.
Yeah, and I know that you mm-hmm. have some insight, man. I mean, you know, you see a lot of artists. What are some of the artists that you know are about to pop?
About to pop? I like the kid, Kid Omar. I like him. I don't know if you heard him. Kid Omar. He's doing his thing. You can look him up. Shoot, it's just so many, man. It's just so many. But, you know, like, Miami has created a whole new underground scene with the Denzel Currys and, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, my like Lunch Money Lewis, like my brother. It's like a whole new underground scene that these guys are not even on airplay and they're not even playing, but they're streaming like millions of streams. They're getting more shows. Like, I haven't met this kid yet, but I forgot his name was Puya. Like, you yeah. know, that kid is killing it, bro. I don't know him personally. I don't know him, hear his music, but mm-hmm. far as numbers wise, like when I look at Polestar and like the business aspect, that's why I tell people it's called the music business. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people just fall into the music domain, you know, but mm-hmm. you got to respect those who actually pay their bills off this, you know? You got to respect those, you know? It's like they're not just on the gram, you know what I'm saying? Or Snapchatting. They're actually, you know, selling products, selling merch, selling, you know, which can be done, you know?
And what do you think stops these artists from reaching that level?
Like, if they don't have the proper management, you know, they didn't do their proper research, they didn't do their proper reading, because social media can fool you, you know, and you can watch things and believe things that are there that are not really there, you know, because when you see that person in real life or you see something, it's not really happening like that. So you kind of got to block that stuff out a little bit and really focus on like what you're trying to achieve, you know, because all that is just like, it's not even, you know, it wasn't there before, and people were selling way more records than they were selling now. You understand that?
Okay.
Nelly was selling, all these artists were selling 20 and 10 million worth of singles, you know, mm-hmm. and they didn't have social media, you know. Okay. So the game has changed and it's reversed into streaming, but it goes to show you that, you know, that crowd is still there. Like right now, I think Nelly and Ja Rule are like, they're killing it. Like the 90s Two Live Crew who I work with, those yeah. guys are, man. I was talking to my boy Joseph Weinberger into the Two Live Crew. We were looking at it, Naughty by Nature, in the last, I think, 2 years or 3 years, they've done like 300 shows, you know? on a tour called I Love the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it goes to show you, Lisa, I bet you Lisa and the Cult Jam is working more than half these.
I bet money, man.
I bet. I know. I see these people work, man.
I know you're involved. You do events like those events.
Also, yeah.
As well.
So, and those guys, those events are the most successful events. Those 90s events, yeah, because people are, they're buying merchandise. Mm-hmm. They're got their babysitters already. They got their tickets purchased beforehand. It's not,
they're ready to go.
Well, that's like our generation because we love the 80s, the 90s. So
so you know.
And those, I know that you were doing a lot of the old school jams.
Yeah.
A few last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot of those. You have, what are you promoting now? What do you have coming up?
Right now we have my dad. We're going to be celebrating his 50 year anniversary concert.
Shout out to you.
New Year's Day in the daytime. My dad likes daytime parties, you know, so.
Starting early. Kind of party.
2 p.m. to 1 a.m. From like 2 to 5, we're going to be doing some stuff with the kids, like face painting and come out with the family. But from 5 o'clock on, you're going to get performances from like Inner Circle, Michael Rose, Mighty Diamonds, Joe Mercer Marley, which is one of the hottest young Marleys. Like, he's the third generation, like the new kids coming out. Papayo, which is Pitbull's new Spanish reggae artist. He's going to come out. Chino said he may stop by. Lunch Money Lewis, my little brother, will be performing some hits. Daniel Sky, the Reese Brothers, Berserk, which is another one of our artists, and a new artist called Becky Glacier. It's going to be real nice, chill. You know, Wynwood Yard already got the food. You know, Big Teach is out there. Shout out to
Big Teach.
Yeah, the
great mac and cheese.
The vegan is out there. It's just wonderful out there already. Yeah. So it's nice vibes, you know. So
dope. And when is this?
For New Year's Day. Yeah, first reggae show of 2019.
Can you give us some more info where it's gonna be and where they can find tickets?
Yeah, Wynwood Yard in Wynwood, and you can find tickets go on Eventbrite.com and just search Inner Circle New Year's Day on Eventbrite.com.
So you mentioned a couple of things about new artists and how much it's changed from, you know, what it was then to what it is now.
Mm.
And one thing that I always stress to a lot of the artists that I come across, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it's not just about talent. It's not about making a nice song. It's not about having flow. It's not about any of that. Like, I always tell them there's a full package. And to me, what I think is more important, and even more so than the talent itself, because that can always be kind of worked on and developed, is the work ethic. What is your take on that?
No, it's totally. You see, the ones that are winning have that work ethic. They have that in the studio. You know, being at Circle House, you know, I get such a an insight, and I'm lucky, you know, to be able to see these guys' work ethic, not just the social media or the concerts and shows. I see who stays in the studio for the whole 12 hours, who leaves for an hour, who does this, who does that. So, you know, it's like,
who's on time, who's not.
you know, so you see a lot of that, and then you get to know an artist, and then sometimes you see the result of that artist, and then you see like, damn, I see why the result is like that. It's because of, like you said, the work ethic, you know. So, you know, and this is not a business right here where you can call it a 9 to 5. This is a 24/7 job, you know. Like, sometimes, like, I don't even know what time is, like, you know, like, you just, it's just ridiculous, man. But it's what we picked. I'm not lifting boxes or doing something I don't want to do. At least I'm doing something that I want to do, so I don't kind of consider it work, you know. So
and doing all of these things, you get to see all these artists come in. And I know you've met a lot of the celebrities that you chill with, or a lot of the celebrities people have on their bucket list to meet. Like, you have I know that you have Neo always comes into town. You have shout out to Neo. You have Nas whenever he comes out. I know you always chill with him or whatnot. Now, when you're with that caliber of MC, when you see him go to the studio or whatnot, have you ever been really impressed by an artist of that caliber where it just blows you away?
Yeah, like Nas, he's and Neo, you named two good work ethic people, you know. Like Neo, like, sometimes like it's almost like I think Neo looks at Miami as like a paint canvas, you know, like so like he comes here and it's just empty canvas, right? And then yeah. he comes here and he starts painting as he goes out to Miami and he sees what's going on. Then he hears Spanish music. Then he hears Pitbull's music. And in Tutu's, he got a song with Pitbull called Tonight. You know, like guys like that, you got to think they're very smart. They, you know, Nas, they're very intelligent beings. They sit back and they observe and they think before they move, and you learn by hanging with those guys, and you watch how they move, you watch how they think, because they've made the mistakes. They've been down the Mulberry Boy show. You can learn by watching people that have made mistakes. You watch what they do, you watch their mannerism, you watch how they like they post, you watch their team, you watch their organization, you watch, you know, like the mindset, like Pitbull, man, he's like a well-oiled come on, man. He's a machine.
There's no
man.
Words for that.
And it's like everybody around him is the same way, you know? So, and it's like you see a work ethic, and then you see the ones that are winning have the that work ethic, you know?
Have you ever been disappointed by someone's work ethic?
I would say disappointed. I don't even think of the word. Like, just. There's some like disappointed, but more like saddened, because you see how much talent that person or what they can do if they really just put that extra, you know, into the situation. But, you know, I've learned working with artists and working with people, you can't push everybody. You can't, you know, like they got to have a sense of wanting it. You know what I'm saying? Especially nowadays when, you know, everybody's a rapper, everybody's a singer, everybody's an artist, everybody got a website, everybody, you know, so...
Now you mentioned everybody's
an artist. Everybody's
I mean, you know, you mentioned being able, you know, not rushing into things. But when you look at what you're doing in this field of music in general, there's so many, like you said, artists doing the same thing. But now, for you, that you see them come and go, and you have with your marketing and branding, you host a lot of listening parties and whatnot. What separates the artist from regular artists?
Consistency, you know, I think really consistency, because, you know, like it's like you get a hot song or a hot album, you know,
just keep it coming.
Like you gotta be consistent. You gotta really just think before you talk. Like a lot of these new rappers that don't think before they talk, they just talk. Like, you know, like these, we thought before we talk, and the rappers that I know, like, you know, they think, you know, it's more at stake. You know, now it's like, you know, it's a little bit different because the business is different, and I can't fault them because the game has changed. It's all about hits. It's all about likes. It's all about streaming, and you get paid for it, you know? Yeah. So it's like, who's to judge, you know? So, you know, I just know it's different, you know?
Yeah, it's the game's different.
It's a lot different, man. It's a lot different. If you don't keep up, you're going to get lagged behind, you know? Yeah. So, you know.
And what are some of the artists you're working with now?
Of course, In a Circle, you know, working with them, working with 2 Live Crew, you know.
We have Brother Marquise on the show now.
Yeah, Brother Marquise, yeah. It's like a 2 Live Crew, man. Those two artists keep me a lot busy. I'm working with a new artist called Hijack.
Okay.
He's out of New York, but just based here in Miami now. I did some great stuff with him during Art Basel.
I saw the car, the Hijack's car with Kiki Valdez art.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Kiki Valdez. Yes, did you see that?
I did see that.
I mean, it was really dope. Kiki's crazy.
I think it was one of the hottest things for Basel. We just didn't get the big look, because, you know, Basel was like kind of different this year, like spread out. Last year it was more like.
But Basel's like that, though. Yeah, it just changes. It's like morphing all the time. But like, shout out to Kiki Valdez, man. Yeah. That car was so dope. His style is so unique.
Yeah,
to see it all over that car. Oh,
yeah,
really dope.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear Hijack, you know.
Yeah.
He's under your umbrella. He's making moves.
Right? Yeah, we're trying to make the right moves, and, you know, introduce him to the right people, and, you know, just, and that's what I do with marketing and consulting. I try to like help the client. I don't always take every client, you know, because, you know, it's like I got to be selective of what I do and what I put my name with, or, you know, because I'm more like a boutique, you know, marketing company. I'm not really like a, like just everybody. I'm not, you know.
Well, so, thank you for coming on the show.
No problem. No problem.
Thanks for knowing what time it was to come out of here.
No problem. No problem. You know, and I made it, you know, actually, I'll tell you, my phone died trying to find him. I kept calling him because it's a star. It's a lot of Starbucks around here. You know what I'm saying?
We've been told.
There's a lot of Starbucks.
Yeah, so that's
a
Blue Martini. You know,
no, those valet guys, those valet guys,
yeah,
they are good, man. The one right there, oh man, they help me. They
shout out to the valet guys at Mary Brickell Village.
Yes, they're good. They're very good.
So if you're ever in Miami, come out to Brickell.
Yeah, very informative guys.
Right, you in the right way.
100%.
They know their way. That's dope, man. I mean, you know, we have a lot of the questions I would have are mainly because I've been at Servo House.
Yeah,
I've seen the number of artists that you deal with.
Yeah.
Regular, just, you know what, you know, you mentioned Pitbull, and we've talked about this on the phone, but we talked about Latins, mm-hmm, in the music industry. You said that Pitbull really set the blueprint.
Yeah, I think
Tell me a little bit about that.
When I said the blueprint, it's like, I seen his grind, you know, and I didn't hear a lot of the music, mm-hmm, that was coming out now the way it was coming out before he was doing it, you know, mm-hmm, like the way he was rapping, the beats he was picking, like, mm-hmm, it wasn't like that, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't the way the new wave of these guys are. It's like he was kind of the first, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because it wasn't like that. It wasn't taking like a hip hop or like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't, you know, it wasn't, mm-hmm, like that. So what he was doing was groundbreaking it. But I attest that to being Miami too, like, yeah, you know, melting pot. Like, you know, as a young artist, Pitbull used to be around all the Jamaicans with me and my dad at Circle House, you know what I'm saying? And then right, he's over there with the Haitians with Red Eyes and all those guys. So it's like, you just like make a gumbo. He's right there with Laz, and you know, Laz has a lot to do with a lot of the artists here in Miami. Because let me tell you something, man. Club Zippers, man, that made a lot of people, ooh, man. That
shout out to Zipper, DJ Laz.
Zippers made Zippers a lot of people, man. Like, I was a kid, Laz. I felt like it was like my live on Sunday as a kid. You know, like, you know, Laz BB, like, Laz the man. Like, you know, like, but he, like, you know, Pitt used to be in there. Model girl, like, I'm saying, people that were really turned into, like, it was like Laz had school at Zippers, bro. It was like school. Wow. It was like class, you know, like,
that was so,
yeah, the parties were definitely different.
You know,
I'm telling you, so, if you were to go to in the order of those old school parties, it was mm-hmm, Pac Jam,
yeah,
and then after the Pac Jam, Zippers,
yeah, Zippers.
Zippers had this. Zippers was Zippers. Zippers was just the getaway, the local getaway. Because, yeah, man, tourists didn't know about that.
No.
Thank God.
Nah, the pimp with the limp, man. The pimp.
Up? Shout out to
the
DJ
pimp
Laz
with the limp. You got to salute the pimp with the limp, man.
Absolutely,
100%, man. Yeah. You know?
Now, that's it. That's, I'm glad you brought that up, man. Because one of the things I love to talk about is Miami in, mm-hmm, general. Back then, in that time, tell me a little bit about that era of Miami. What were the things that you could and could not do?
What do you remember the most?
What do you remember about that?
I remember there's no social media, right?
That's right. So, right?
So there was no games being played. You know, like, if you said something back then, you said something. There was no Instagram apology.
I didn't mean that. But that's not what I meant.
wasn't none of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it was a different loyalty of, mm-hmm, my word, you know, word was like, when people say my word was bond back then, mm-hmm, they meant my word was bond, you know, and that attests to the business, what's going on now. Like, that's why you hear about a rapper 1 second and then you don't, because back in the days, people actually would try, like, you know what, this album didn't work, we'll go to another album. Now these labels, oh, the album didn't work, hey, sorry, sit down, I got a new one called Juju Boy. Or, you know, another artist, or they're not really homing on the craft of the artist. That's why a lot of the kids are just trying to do their own independent thing, you know, because it's just crazy. The business is organized confusion right about now, you know. It's really organized confusion. So
now, do you think an artist should go straight up independent, mm-hmm, or work towards getting signed?
Depends who's signing them, right?
Exactly.
Really, what are you talking about? But still,
it really depends, because, you know, going to, you know, from the independent standpoint, like, you know, like, you have these guys that can sell out a Revolution Live, mm-hmm, that holds what, maybe like 2,000.
Let's say Revolution Live in full lockdown.
Yeah.
Let's say 2,000.
2,000, and then 2,000. You know, you can get with a label. The label may be able to make you now sell out a 5,000 seater, you know, something that you couldn't do for yourself. But entail, if you break it down, in the long term, you probably would have made more money doing more
of those little
2,000 seaters than going for the gusto over here and getting the big label and getting the big push and just not like growing with your audience. But you, when people are in situations, you can't really you can't really because you never know somebody's situation to want to get signed, to want to not maybe understanding marketing and have the proper management and the proper, you know, things. It's a lot of different variables.
So you think maybe if the artist were to just slow down a bit, like you said before, and just plan it all out on it, if he had the right team around him, he'd be able to independently make the same moves that a larger label would be able to pull
100%, 100%, 100%. That's why social media is a gift and a curse. It's a gift because you have, you can create your own community, you can create your own wave, and then you can show the bigger label like, hey, I got a million streams on my own. What can you actually do for me? You know, because I got to, like, I did this myself.
That changes the conversation.
100%, you know, change the conversation, because then you created that on your own, you know. So, and sometimes it's good to stay by yourself to really understand the business more to get to that point. You probably get more off the top because it's just, I don't know, organized confusion right about now, man.
I feel you, man. And I mean, since you're involved in the business aspect, you have your hands mixed in with stats from all platforms, you know. And there's no real Rubik's Cube combination to get this right.
No, if somebody tells you that, they can, you know, they have a routine that they do. You know, I'm gonna send it to this person first. I'm gonna let Complex drop it. I'm gonna let this guy put it out first. But there's really no schematic, because there's people in their bedrooms doing it, making hits and overnight success off spoofs. And, you know, like the King Batch and those guys are like multimillionaires off Instagram. They're not even rappers, you know. They're just conceptualizing with the concepts and watching social media and like understanding it. Like, you know, people let social media like get to them, but if they sat back and really looked at it and learned how to manipulate it, oh my gosh, you know, in a manner for business purposes, for you to win, not let it a tearjerker or, oh, it's coming hard. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's great. But like, you know what I'm saying? But like, if you, like, you know, no, just like, don't let it like control you, like control it. And if you can control it, you can do a lot with it. You know, once you understand how to control it and don't let it just like, you know, see
get
something
the best
in
of you and
Facebook and, you know. Oh,
just make it a tool.
Just make it a tool. That's it. That's it, you know.
BB, you had mentioned earlier about how, you know, the artistry and what you do with branding and marketing and everything. It's a 24-hour job. Mm-hmm. But you also just mentioned about maybe having some sort of structure and some sort of routine. Can you take me through a typical day for you? Is there a typical day for you? Do you have a specific routine or schedule you follow?
One thing I do is I'm going to go to the gym. You know, that gym is, it's kind of like, it's like my serenity. It's going to like somewhat like center me, you know what I'm saying, to really propel my day, because it's that time to think. It's, you know, I'm working on my body. It's like, you know,
so it's the first thing you do.
First, one of the first things I kind of do is hit the gym, and then from there back to the office and just grinding, just like going from events to who's coming into town, what's coming up next, who's the hottest website, who's the hottest Instagram person, who's next, who's hot, you know, Miami, like what's going on,
you know? Haven't heard.
Have you heard?
And that's a day for me. I'm looking, you know, who's the next, you know, out there, who's writing the best songs, who's that, you know.
So you're out there spreading your tentacles, what's everywhere. Now I know 7 in the morning, most people are having coffee. Some people are just getting their routines in order or whatnot. Haven't left the house yet. You're playing basketball.
Yeah.
So, quick question, man. Do you play basketball with all these celebrities? And if so, which one balls out?
I haven't played with them, but from what I see, I see Tank and Ball. tanking ball, because you know they're probably late night ballers. I'm the early morning man. I'm up in the morning. Yeah, you know,
I've seen Tank in the celebrity basketball games. He jumps in there, right?
Yeah, but I've seen, from myself, he could play a little hoops and a couple of them. I see Jim Jones. I play with Jim Jones. Jim Jones can ball. Some football players can ball, play basketball good. What's his name? Deshaun Leonard, I think his name. He's like a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yo, he was jumping at the gym, boy. Like I was surprised, you know, because you don't think a football player can play basketball on that level. That guy was like, whew. Like I was surprised. Totally. You know, I was surprised. You know, Jim Jones, he can play. Jim Jones,
all right.
Rebounder. You know, he's definitely. You know, he's in that gym. You know, but. You know, for the most part, everybody's trying to just take care of themselves now. You know,
you got to, man. Everyone's trying to be looking at the long game.
Mm-hmm.
Longevity is key.
Mm-hmm.
And consistency.
Consistency.
Healthy consistency.
Relevance, but don't let, you know, I'm going to say it again, don't let social media kill y'all, man. I'm telling you, don't. Like,
seen it.
Give us, look, man, you look like you've seen this 1,000 times, so go ahead and tell us.
Give us a horror story.
I got a horror story. It's just like people look at social media and then they let it like affect them. You know, it ruins the day. It ruins the vibe. It ruins the, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm to a point myself. I don't know. Maybe, you know, but everybody hurry up and get to this point. You know,
hurry up,
because the world would change if everyone got to that point. You know, so
you've seen way too many people get affected for nothing.
Way for nothing, for absolutely zero zilch. You know, because it wasn't there before. You know, and people were doing just fine.
It's true.
People were doing just fine, and it was not there. People were selling more records. Same tours were going on. Artists were breaking the same way. People were selling vinyl. People were selling cassette tapes. People were selling CDs. I know it's a growth period of everything, but just remember that sometimes in our generation that it wasn't there from before. Mm-hmm. You know. So
you said we were talking about up-and-coming artists. Now, you have artists like Kodak,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people trying to mimic, like, trying to come out, and they're following that path, maybe mimicking other artists.
Yeah.
Kodak's a standard, like that cat stands by himself.
Yes,
you know what I mean. He stands in his own world.
He's authentic. He's like Trick. It's not fake.
It's exactly. It wasn't conjured up.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying.
Like
so,
yeah.
You know, with the open card becoming artists, what would you say to them? That are looking up at all the artists that are out now, they hear you talking about Pitt. People don't know the story of Flo.
Yeah.
Like Flo, he's just been writing forever and a day.
Mm-hmm.
When he blew up, he blew up.
He blew up.
You know, he had a shit ton of tracks already done.
And he was ready for the blow up. So when it blew up, like you said, these guys have made so many mistakes in their past and not been ready. So when it came time for that time, they were ready. You know, and people think that just happens overnight. And overnight success to me is like 6 years. You know, that's overnight success.
How many of these artists have you seen coming to your studio or coming to any of the studios you've been involved with?
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen them from nothing,
mm-hmm.
going in there, putting in work. You see their work ethic getting better. And then today, they're stars.
I would say the whole Miami.
It's true. Yo, you ain't lying.
The entire Miami.
We out here.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, I done seen them all with nothing and just a hope and a dream of, you know, coming there and, you know, different artists like Jay-Z being over there with us and mm-hmm. them looking like, wow, and looking up. And, you know, that's why I thank the Lord for Inner Circle and my father and Uncle Roger, who had a vision that motivated like the entire Miami damn near. You know what I'm saying? That vision they had of excellence, of top-notch equipment, of making sure that their sound that comes out of where theirs comes out of is going to sound just like or better than anything coming from California or anything. Like, you know, even Trick Daddy, like, you know, early years, man, we put Trick Daddy music against anybody's music sound quality-wise. You can't, you know, like,
it's clean.
Clean. People came from far and wide looking for that sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like those behind the scenes you don't see where people are like, where's that sound? Who's mixing that? Where was it mixed? Where, you know, who's the producer? Like, you know, because, you know, Miami is like I said, it's just so different. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to meet like, so many different ethnic, like it's crazy. Yeah.
It's a melting pot.
Where are you gonna see that at? You know what I'm saying? New York, I'm not gonna see that. Like I'm gonna see, you know, culture, but I'm not gonna see like from here to my car, I'm gonna see a Chinese, a Jamaican, a Haitian, a Mexican. Like I know I'm gonna see all this from going from here to my car. Right. That's why I love Miami, man. Right. You know,
I
like,
know it.
Like, I love it.
I love it. Like, you know, I would never get that all that culture anywhere else where I can just taste all those foods, meet all those people, see how they act with their parents, mm-hmm. and, you know, pick up that, you know, culture. That's why I keep, you know, with Neo, with like having that like canvas, and then they start coming here and they just paint their canvas, and they see Miami and they love Miami and they respect Miami so much, and you know, and they want to indulge and they mess with the producers, you know, get with the girls, and
Miami's your playground. Miami's a playground, man. I can't be jealous of that.
Yeah, but you know, it's two Miamis, like we always say. You know, you got the South Beach, and then you got the Miami,
the real deal,
Holyfield, where you know you don't want to.
I mean,
you know?
And that rolls into my next question, man. Mm-hmm. How many of these outsiders don't know that difference? And have you seen culture?
Yes, I've seen culture. I've got phone calls, you know, like, yo, he is right here. BB, please call him right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, tell him, go, like, you know, go in the car or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've gotten those calls where I actually call the artist and be like, yo, you are tripping. You know, like,
take it down a notch.
You are like, what are you doing? And then they catch themselves too, like, oh man, like, this is not an island. This is not just
welcome to
like,
Miami.
Yeah, you're not. This is not Turks and Caicos like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're gonna, you know, it's, you know, it's like anywhere else. Like, and if I'm in Cali, I'm not gonna be some, you know. Or if you're in certain parts of New York, you're gonna, you know, look around and be observant on your stuff. So that's what I try to do. Is like, you know, I don't try to be the Captain Savior, but I try to, like, you know, those ones that, you know, that are good guys too, because they showing a lot of love, man. Future signed Zoe Dollars, and you know what I'm saying, at one point in time, Birdman and them had Briscoe with them signed, and a bunch of things. So there was, it's not like these guys came out here and like, oh, I'm just gonna not help, you know, nobody had these guys signed, and they were trying with them, and they did. Some of them got very successful, you know, extremely.
That's true. It's very true. You ain't lying about that, man. I mean, Miami's just so many weird stories. You know, one of the reasons that I love having you on the show, because you're from North Miami.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize that once you leave South Beach, there's a South Miami, there's a North Miami, there's a West Miami, there's a Hialeah Miami.
Hialeah, we all love Hialeah, man. I love Hialeah.
Shout out
man.
To Hialeah.
Goddamn.
We got to get more Hialeah.
I was actually going to tell you, I got a friend of mine from Hialeah. He goes by Law, and he's actually coming out.
Shout out to Law.
He's coming out with like a tour guide, but it's for like underground, to be able to tell tourists and people who come from abroad.
Pretty
like,
much.
Where
that's
to go,
cool.
where not to go, and how to behave in certain hoods.
That's cool.
Because a lot of people come in from other places and they don't know how to act. So
ideas
kind
like
of
that.
Like Street 101.
Yeah, innovative. That's being innovative.
I mean,
you know?
It could save someone's life, maybe.
Yeah, that's the truth.
It
the truth.
Probably would.
Shout out to Law.
You know,
that's what's up, man. But I mean, like, that's the thing about Miami, that in this culture and this music industry, like. You mentioned that people don't take Instagram serious. And what I take from it is a few things. Mainly, don't let your feelings get hurt over some bullshit on social media.
100%.
But more importantly, because of the nature of the business that you're in, I think more of you'll see artists and you see these Instagram rappers. You know what I mean? And I don't, you know, could you just, you know, talk about that a little bit, man. The real life of an artist versus what you see on Instagram.
Just having this stuff together and just knowing the business, like reading a book, you know, artist management, something so simple to understand the business. And I would never take somebody's drive away or their thought process, or because I'm not the smartest guy in the world. You know, I don't have the schematic, and you know, their ideas may be innovative and new, but just remember, it's a business. You know what I'm saying? If they understand that it's a business, and it's not just like I'm rapping and I'm smoking weed. I'm rapping and I'm smoking weed. I'm wearing jewelry. I'm rapping. And it's not about that. Like it's, and those ones that do it don't really last. You know, like I'm, you know, the Kanye West have made more money off sneakers than he probably ever make off music. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, is music the vessel to get you where else you want to go? Do you want, like, what is it? So, like, you have to understand nowadays, because there's so many other realms. There's so many other ways to get the bag, as they say. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the bag is not always just music, you know? So.
Well, man, we're out of time.
Did I do too much talking? I talk too much?
No, not at all.
I do have a good question for you. So you rap?
Oh, nah. In my sleep, I threw in a little words here and there, you know?
At 16.
Oh, man, I wish I could, man. I don't know. Maybe if you catch me in the morning, like after the basketball game, like when I thought
you're all pumped up,
I took my pre-workouts in motion, and I already done won my game, you know, and I beat the guy that was talking all the smack. I'm ready for my 12. I'm a 8, and I'm gonna send it to you. I'm gonna give you the exclusive.
Do it.
You heard it now. 305 Magazine got the exclusive 8 on BB. You know,
I fucking heard this right here.
BB, before we go, because yes. I know that you are very selective, because your time is very precious and very limited. You have a lot of different projects going on with the branding, marketing, the studio, and everything.
Yeah.
And I can assume that there's certain criteria that artist or somebody needs to meet in order for you to go ahead and select them.
Yes.
However, is there something that kind of just like triggers that inspiration or that excitement that like really, really drives you to be like, I need this client?
Yeah. Man, just something innovative, something new, you know, something that's just so like not the typical. It's like when from an artist perspective, somebody just like just so different, you know, something that's gonna just wow people in a sense where, you know. Man, that's a good question, man. You got me.
All right, and one more before we go. We talk about longevity. You've been in this industry for such a long time. It seems it's like generation after generation. What do you hope to accomplish with your career, and how do you want to be remembered?
What I want to accomplish with my career is just like, not whatever I touch turn to gold, but just like, it's like, if I was around something, it actually, you know, that wave just, it went, you know, from the music perspective to business to, you know, just to create
whatever
it is, you know. And I just wanted to be like really remembered as like somebody that really, you know, put their foot down here in Miami, you know, really like sacrificed, you know, for the overall business of Miami, you know, and just created so many waves of, you know, cash money coming to Miami, this guy coming to Miami, and these guys now are profiting, and this guy, and just making, you know, a whole, you know, melting pot of just remember me, man. You know, give me my statue.
BB, and one more thing, because you've been dropping a lot of knowledge on our show, and we appreciate your time and everything that you've been sharing with us. But there are so many different artists here in Miami, and we definitely want to see Miami flourish and Miami succeed. What would be the best piece of advice that you can offer anyone who is listening on the other end, be it personal or professional?
Always remember, learn the laws of music, because that's your... Like, when I tell people about your pension, like police officers have pension, people have pension. When you deal with the music business, there's no pension. You know, your songs and your ownership is your pension. That's your retirement, you know? So the ownership of your music is very important, especially if you're going to grow in this music business. Because, and like I said, I've been around some great men like my father and them, and I've learned that ownership, it's a lot better. You know, things look a lot better for you with ownership than someone else owning it, or you owning a piece of it through label and time. And so just when you hear people celebrate about their masters, I never knew how it was, why they would celebrate. Hey, they got the masters. Mm-hmm. But now you understand, when you got your masters, you got your stuff back, you know. Yeah. And now you can now go out and, you know, do what the label was going to do with your thing without the label, you know. So you're dealing, you know, your dealings is directly with these people, you know.
I don't think people realize what you just said.
It's all about the business.
I mean, just to drop a little gem and decipher what just happened.
Yeah.
What, you know, you have, like Jay-Z, for instance.
Yeah.
Jay-Z celebrated getting his masters back.
Mm-hmm.
You are the sole proprietor, the owner of your material.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you're signed. When you sign a contract, your material no longer belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't own those masters. Like, the label could do whatever the fuck they want with
no
your
royalties,
shit.
Guys.
No. Goodbye. So what happens down the line, they put your song on the radio in a movie or whatever, you're shit out of luck.
Yeah.
The label gets paid and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he means by retirement fund. This is your future. Mm-hmm. So gems, bro. You're going to have to rewind this podcast, listen to it a few times,
because mm-hmm.
there's a lot of gems dropped today.
Okay, I'm going to give you three names. Look up Inner Circle, look up Two Live Crew, and look up Casey and the Sunshine Band out of Miami. Ooh. Or you have a little bit of Gloria Estefan and Emilio, and look at their catalog. Look at the things they have, look at the things they own, and just start understanding, like, if you understand music is real estate, you know what I'm saying? They own a lot of properties. Those people I just named. Like, if you want to come from, like, the real estate perspective, mm-hmm. when you put it into the music business. So those are four names you can listen to that are, you know, that are here that you may see walking down the street, you know, yeah. and you may one day get an opportunity to talk to, and you look at them and look how, you know, that it's that catalog. And just once you understand that, like, the ownership of music, and we're going to say it one more time and that's it. There's no retirement plan here in the music business. There's zero.
There's no retirement plan.
There's no signing up. You know what I'm saying? There's not no NBA or NFL is going to send you back a monthly check for the rest of your life. Nothing. Or, you know, you'll get that through music if you own your music for the rest of your life with your publishing and mm-hmm. your writers and all that stuff. But just ownership, you know what I'm saying? Even with the podcast and even with that streams, that's so many things, you know what I'm saying? So ownership is everything, you know?
Gems of knowledge.
Any shout outs you want to give before we go?
Oh man, just, you know, shout out to everyone, man. Inner Circle, Circle House, my company, everybody, man. Just, you know, everybody tuned in listening to BB, you know, follow me on Instagram at BB Lewis. Hit me up, you know?
There you go. Well, thank you very much, BB, for coming out, man.
No problem.
Man, people don't understand, bro. You're behind the scenes to everything.
I try to be, man.
Fucking everything. Everything. And I appreciate you coming out today, bro.
No problem.
You know, a lot of gems dropped for everyone. For everyone listening, if you're listening outside of the United States, thank you for listening. Go to drop us a line somewhere. Mm-hmm. Find us on IG. Find us anywhere.
Call us.
I gotta start talking about this phone number for the station.
Well, mm-hmm. we got a lot of things lined up for 2019, we're really excited. This mm-hmm. was an amazing last show for 2018.
Yeah, really,
it's been a dope year.
Happy New Year. Merry okay. Christmas. Don't drink
Happy
and drive.
Happy holidays.
305 Magazine at 305 Radio. Everything. This is George at 305 Magazine.
Want to give a huge shout out to Willie, who is also part of the magazine. You can find him on the gram at LMG_Willie, and that's WILLY, not an I. And you can catch me on the gram at 305_Brownie. This is your girl, Dre Mob. We are signing off for 2018. Thank you so much to all of our loyal listeners all over the world. Happy holidays, love and blessings, and thank you once again for tuning in to 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine on MiamiUndergroundRadio.com.
No problem. Hey, amazing.
Yes.